Well, good morning. You may go ahead and have a seat. My name's Kyle. If you're a first-time guest with us, I'm one of the pastors here at King's Church, and we're grateful that you're here joining us on a weekend. And I hope you, when you came, you got a gift bag. You were able to meet someone at the guest tent. They were able to greet you. But if you've been around King's Church for a while, if you're kicking tires here for a while, welcome back. We've been in a series called Marked, where we're talking about what is the culture of a people who are passionately pursuing Jesus. What are we to be marked by? What are we to be known for, right? We talked about God dependence, that we are known by, we are a people that depend on God and God alone. That we're a people of authentic relationships, that we're genuine in our pursuit of God together. And we're a people that are focused very clearly on building up the church for the purpose of expanding His kingdom and to see kingdom impact take place. And last week we talked about intentional generosity, that we are intentional, we are a people that are intentional with both our time and our resources. And today we're going to end this series and we're talking about something different. We're talking about ambition. We all know what ambition is, right? Like, it's the thing that drives us, that motivates us. You may have been ambitious, but places in every human is some level of ambition. There's a couple things in my life that I think about being ambitious for. Like, every year we start, new year resolutions, right? And right now we're a couple weeks in, and my question is ambition still fueling you to lose the weight? Or was it just really easy to buy the tennis shoes, to get the new watch, right? To download the new gym plan or to set up the home gym, right? Like, are you still being fueled by ambition? We have ambition to do things, right? I think about in my own life where I was very ambitious. I met this lady named Marissa, who is now my wife. And when I saw her, I thought, wow, I want to marry that woman. And I became very ambitious towards that aim. So much so that I convinced her father, even though I didn't have any money, that he should let me marry her, right? And I made up this whole plan. I printed out this budget, and he goes, it's not going to work. And I said, I know, but I have faith in God, right? That was my ambition. I was driven to be able to have this woman's hand in marriage. We all have ambition. Ambition in the Bible, we are designed to have ambition, but in the Bible, it very clearly says, what is our natural disposition towards ambition? And the New Testament writers use the word selfish ambition, meaning by nature, what drives humanity is ourselves, right? Like, the aim and focus of our ambition most of the time is ourselves. But for us at King's Church, we want to be a people who are marked by a culture that passionately pursues Jesus. And we say redeemed ambition. And what we mean by that is our redemption informs now what our ambition is to be. In other words, redemption is a big church word. All that simply means is that Jesus bought us. It's a legal term that we were far away from God. We are separated from God because of our sin. And there was a payment to be paid for our sin. And Jesus made that payment. And that right there is Jesus buying us. It's our redemption. And that truth, as a Christian, that is what informs your ambition going forward. That our ambition is redeemed. It is all coming from the place of this new relationship with God. It's all coming from this ambition to bring God honor and glory. I don't know if you know this, but we were created to worship God. In the Old Testament, the left side of your book, there's a story that's a true story about a man named Adam and a woman named Eve. And it says they were made in the image of God. And what that means is they were designed with qualities and purpose to worship. They were made to worship. God didn't set up rules simply in the garden because he had made these Autobots that simply did exactly what he wanted them to do. Instead, he gave them choice. And it is out of our choice that we worship. And he placed in the middle of a garden a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And because Adam and Eve took of that fruit, they were separated because from God because of sin. But they were still designed to worship. You and I are created in the image of God, and the purpose of our being is to worship. Another way to say that is we were created to glorify God. And so when we talk about redeemed ambition, if we want to be a people that's marked by redeemed ambition, we're saying we want to be a people that we are driven, our ambition, we are driven by what God has done in our lives so that it overflows for His glory and the good of others. That's what we're talking about today. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 is where Paul, on his missionary journey, it's the right side of your Bible. It's the Acts of the Apostles is the name of the book. In other words, it's a book that tells us about what God has done in the early church, what was happening. In Acts chapter 20, Paul greets the Ephesian elders. There's a book in the New Testament called Ephesians, and that's written to a church in Ephesus. We just started a series before Christmas, and we're going to be going there just in 2 weeks from now back to the book of Ephesians. And he calls the elders of Ephesus together. And in a farewell address to these elders, Paul declares the essence of his life, the ambition, if you will, of his life. He is constrained by the Spirit. He is pressed on through suffering to complete the ministry the Lord Jesus gave him, testifying to the gospel of grace. And Paul is saying, this is the aim of my life. This is the heartbeat of my life. So with me in Acts chapter 20, we're going to begin in verse 22. These are God's words for us. May we be gotten by them and may we get them today. And now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. Paul shows us what redeemed ambition looks like. Paul is an example for us of what it means to be fueled, to be driven by ambition that is redeemed. In other words, that the redemption that we have as believers is informing our ambition now in life. And this is what Paul says. He says he looks because he's constrained by the Spirit, aware that suffering is coming, and he's focused on one thing, finishing the race set before him. So the big idea coming out of this text for us today is redeemed ambition fuels those who call King's Church home. In other words, like, how are we going to move forward as followers of Jesus? How are we going to have a culture of a people that passionately pursue Jesus? Like, redeemed ambition is what fuels us to get to where God has us, to where He wants to take us. It's the fuel. It changes our lives. Like, every day when you wake up, you are informed by this one identity, that you are a Christian. Like, most of us have many nouns in our lives. Mom, dad, brother, coworker, retired, all these different nouns. And if we're honest, a lot of times these shape who we see ourselves to be. But the adjective that informs all of those is Christian. In other words, the adjective comes before the noun. You are a Christian dad. You are a Christian co-worker. You are a Christian father. You are a Christian sister. You are informed by your redemption. In other words, it says, simply say it like this. You weren't simply saved just from hell. You were saved to be used by God to to take the gospel everywhere to everyone. And your salvation is what is fueling every ambition in your life. That's redeemed ambition. So the question for us is, what does it look like in my life today? Paul shows us what redeemed ambition looks like. There's three marks. Now, I get it. You're like, hey, he's an apostle. I'm just an ordinary guy. Like, who am I to follow after this guy? I think when we meet the Apostle Paul, it's going to be wonderful because he's an ordinary Joe just like you and I. Or Joette, you know, because you're a woman, whatever. That didn't land that well. That's okay. So, anyway. But Paul shows us as an example for us what redeemed ambition is. Look what he says in verse 22. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem. Paul has been on missionary journeys. He's been traveling all around Asia Minor. And he says, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there. Paul says that I must submit my will to what God has for me. So, what does redeemed ambition look like in my life, in your life? My will is firmly submitted. That if I'm going to be fueled by redeemed ambition, then what that means is that my will is firmly submitted to God. My will is firmly submitted. My life is under the direction, under His authority, under His priorities, because my life is now His life. Amen? Paul is constrained by the Spirit, not by his own direction or his own authority. He is compelled. That word constrained means to be moved to action, to be compelled to go a direction. Paul is saying, it's not my will, it is the will of the Spirit that is leading me to Jerusalem. There's a lot of things in life that compel us. There's a lot of things in life that would compel Paul. But the main thing in his life that was compelling him in directional focus of his life was the Spirit of God. Was the Spirit of God. Do we understand the beauty of this statement? That as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, when you are saved, God sends the Holy Spirit to reside, to take up residence in your life. And what the Holy Spirit does is He illuminates the Word of God for you to understand it. He leads you in the direction of your life. And Paul says, listen, redeemed ambition, what does it look like? My will is firmly submitted to His. Paul was submitted. His submission shows his obedience, even when he doesn't have full clarity or control of his life. All he knows is he is being pushed and compelled by the very Spirit of God. You say, what about me? Romans chapter 8, write this down. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 14. I want you to mark that in your Bible. It is a passage of Scripture that will inform you of who we are as Christians and how we are to be constrained or led, that's the easier word, led by the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 is the highlight of that passage. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. What Paul is saying to the Romans is that a mark of being a child of God is that you are led, you are compelled by the Spirit. By the Spirit. Romans 8 shows us that Spirit-led people don't live under the authority of the flesh. Another passage to write down is Galatians chapter 6. It talks about the flesh and the Spirit. And a lot of times what we think, when we think about the flesh and the Spirit in our life, that you have been made new in Christ, but I don't know if you know this, news for us, we are awaiting for our flesh to be restored when we are glorified in Him when He takes us up. So I can't wait to that day because we were sick this last week and it was off and on, off and on, and off and on. Someone asked me the other day, what are you waiting for heaven? What are you excited about heaven? I'm not going to be sick no more, right? Like, it's not going to happen. That's one of the things I'm excited about. Anybody else? Like, we are waiting for our flesh to be made new. And in Galatians, Paul is writing, he says, listen, you submit to the flesh or you submit to the Spirit. And a lot of times what we think is there's a little devil on this shoulder and there's a little angel on this shoulder, and they're just going at it just like this, warring with each other. But that's not what we see. When Paul is writing Galatians, he's saying either the Spirit is in control or the Spirit is quenched by the flesh. And what Paul is showing you and us in this text, for me today and for you and me, is that his will was firmly submitted to the Spirit. Here's the application for you and I. I will submit my will. If I'm going to have redeemed ambition, I'm going to submit my will through the everyday choices that I make, where I'm headed, and who I'm following. When you think about the direction of your life, is it your leadership or is it the Spirit's leadership in your life? If you're going to have redeemed ambition, if the aim of your life is going to be passionately pursuing Jesus, the only way that's going to take place is if the direction of your life has been handed over to the leadership of the Spirit of God. The next right step God is putting right in front of you. What are you going to do? Even if you don't have the full plan, you're going to trust Him. The everyday moments I choose in life, is it going to be His way over my way? When it comes to relationships, when it comes to work, when it comes to my integrity, submitting my will answers where am I headed in life. But surrendering my life answers, this is next, what I'm willing to lose to get there. Paul not only says for us and for us today, if we're going to have redeemed ambition, my will is firmly submitted, but number two, my life is selflessly surrendered. Paul is saying, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm constrained by the Holy Spirit. He's taking me somewhere. And look what he says in verse 23. Except that the Holy Spirit, this is all I know. I know I'm going to Jerusalem. And all I know beyond that is that the Holy Spirit testifies. The Holy Spirit tells me that in every city, that imprisonment and afflictions await me. I don't know about you, but that's kind of a shocker, right? Like, the Spirit of God is telling Paul, hey, I'm taking you to Jerusalem. I'm leading you there. Oh, and by the way, it ain't going to be pretty. Oh, by the way, it's not going to be as easy. I mean, I thought, God, that if I followed Jesus, my life was just going to get incredibly better. Like, there's going to be no suffering and no pain. Whoever told you that, or it's probably your flesh, is wrong. What the Holy Spirit is leading him into is suffering and affliction. Paul's life was fully, selflessly surrendered to God. The Spirit makes it clear for him that imprisonment and afflictions are coming. Yet Paul says his life is not precious. Look at verse 24. But I do not account my life of any value. He's not saying that human life has no value. That's not what he's saying. He's saying my life is not in the value system of my decisions. Meaning, what my life is worth is not how I make decisions. That my value system is different. He's saying, I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself. If only I finish my course in the ministry that I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. That if only is the crux of Paul's life. Paul's not worried about imprisonment. Paul's not worried about afflictions. Paul's only concern is that he glorifies God with what God has called him to. Amen. That's not easy. And it was never meant to be easy. It was meant to drive us to dependence. It's meant to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It's meant to walk by faith and not by sight. The if only exposes the crux of the argument. His value system is reordered, so self-preservation is lesser and finishing what Jesus assigned is greater. Let me say that again. His value system has been so restructured that that affliction and pain and suffering is of lesser value than finishing the race that God had gave him. Amen? The only value of his life was to glorify God by finishing the course of the ministry that he called him to. Church, friend, we will be marked by redeemed ambition when our value system is what he values. In other words, the glory of God is worthy of my life. That my life is meant to testify of something greater than comforts and joys of this world, but of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3 gives us a lot of view into what Paul's theology is about. He says, I count all as loss. Meaning, when you look at my life, my education, my pedigree, my historical background, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, like circumcised the eighth day, all these different things. Like, I consider whatever I attained professionally and personally, or whatever I saw myself as, all the nouns and all those things, I count them as loss. Why? For the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul's value system had changed. The only value of his life was to finish the course. Philippians 3, Paul counts that what was once felt like gain is now lost. Verse 12, he says this, "Not that I've obtained this or that I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own." That's Paul's if only, that I press on to make it my own, that I'm going to finish the race that Christ has called me to, that I'm going to know him and I'm going to make him known and I'm going to press on. And in Acts 20, you see the same surrender in his value system. Selflessly surrendered. It's not about him. My life is not the treasure. Faithfulness to Jesus is the treasure. Amen? So here's the application for you and I. I surrender my life by what I'm building my life around. What are you building your life around? Are you building your life around comfort, pleasures of this world? Are you building your life around Christ and eternal things? What am I willing to let go of? Moving from what feels precious to me. Paul says, I don't count my life as precious. Are you willing to move from what you feel so precious about to what's really worth it? And that's Christ and his calling to finish the race. You say, Kyle, well, Paul had a course. He had a race that God had called him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. What's the course for me? We talked about this a few weeks ago. Matthew 28 is the course that God has called all of us to be faithful in making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything we commanded. As a Christian, that is the course that God has called you to, the same course that he called Paul to. How are you doing? What Paul is saying, I am running hard, is after one thing. I'm running hard after one thing, and that is the glory of God, by laying my life down for what he's called me to. Can that be said of you? Can that be said of me? Christian, the only identifying marker in your life is Christian. Christian, that's the priority. You've been redeemed. What feels precious to me right now, comfort, approval, control, money, success. The question is, are you willing to lose it all to obey Jesus? The places I protect myself at all costs. Maybe there's something you're holding back from God. There's a specific thing God is asking you to release so that you can be more faithful to the mission that he's called you to. See, when my life is no longer precious to me, the next question is, what am I living for? And what Paul shows is redeemed ambition. My life is selflessly surrendered. And when my life is selflessly surrendered, here's the third point. My mission is relentlessly gospel focused. Like, this isn't subjective. Like, what Paul is not saying is, what you feel like the Spirit of God is telling you to do about your job. Like, no, what Paul is pushing and challenging is, how are you running the race of making disciples who make disciples who make disciples, so that every person on earth would hear and know that Christ Jesus is Lord, and they will respond in repentance and faith, so they too would be redeemed and their ambition is changed because they want the glory of God to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's what we're talking about. I'm not talking about what you're thinking about. Hey, God, right now in this moment, is this what you want me to do with this check? Hey, God, this is what I want you to do with my job. He's talking about our relationship to the mission. That's what he's talking about. I just want to be clear. So when we have redeemed ambition, Paul shows us, my mission is relentlessly gospel-focused. Gospel-focused. Paul's ambition is not self-appointed at all. On the contrary, look what he says. He says, I may finish the course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. We have received the grace of God, and his plan for us and for Paul is to testify of that grace. Paul's ambition is not self-appointed. He's finishing the course. He's completing the ministry he received from the Lord Jesus, an assignment that was given, not invented, by Paul. That ministry, like I just said, is singular. It's to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. That word testify means to bear witness to. We have pillars at King's Church that what we are convicted about, what the church should be, that the church is to be a people that proclaim the authority of God's word. That's unapologetic preaching. That the church is to lift high the name of Jesus. That's unashamed worship. That the church is to be motivated and moved by unceasing prayer. That we gather to pray because God can do more in a moment than we can do in a lifetime. And lastly, but not least, we gather for worship and we scatter for mission with an unafraid witness, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ with boldness everywhere to everyone. And when do we stop? Till the whole world hears. Till Christ comes back. That's when we stop. And even then, we're going to be around his throne praising the Lamb. We're going to be praising the Lamb who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals, because he's purchased for himself a people from every tribe, language, tongue, and nation. And this is what Paul's saying the mission is, that I bear witness to the grace of God, the gospel, the grace of God. You know what the gospel means? It means good news. And good news begins with very bad news. Me and you were dead in our sins and trespasses in which we formerly walked. But God, being rich in his mercy, has brought us near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ paid our sin debt. That's the gospel. And that is very good news. And there are people at your water cooler. There are people who you're going to serve this week. There are people in your family. There are people all around you that have not experienced the grace of God. And what I want for us, and why I'm so passionate, because in my own life, how many times do I focus on my own course and not that course, which is to testify of God's grace? We are people that have received the grace of God, and there are people that need to hear about that grace in their lives. When we have been transformed by God's grace, our mission is relentlessly gospel-focused. We're not out doing charity work. We're not out just serving people. We're out telling them eternal life is in his name. I keep my mission gospel-focused by centering my life on finishing what Jesus gave me. Matthew 28, he gave me and you the responsibility of testifying to the gospel of grace, that though we are sinners, Christ died for us. Who's the next person God puts in front of you who needs the gospel? You say, Kyle, I can't. I can't speak. You know, some of the greatest people in the Bible said the same thing to God. God, I don't know what to say. Moses, Abraham, Kyle. Like, I don't know what to say. Well, Kyle, you can talk to a fence post. Well, that's how I got good at it. I just started talking to someone that wasn't going to talk back, right?
course you can't do it on your own. You were never designed to do it on your own. Paul is led by the Spirit of God. He is controlled by the Spirit of God to finish the race, to finish the ministry that he was called to. And you and I will not do that apart from the leadership of the Holy Spirit, apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. Of course you can't testify on your own. Of course you're fearful. Of course you don't know what to say. But the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you, and the power of God is for you to be able to do that. That is the truth. And the assignment that Jesus already gave you and me to follow him and make disciples, the question for you and I, am I taking the next obedient step when I leave this room today? Not waiting for perfect conditions. Hey, God, well, if this happens and this happens, if this person says hello to me, then I'm going to share the gospel with them, right? Now, he may do that, but we're not putting conditions. He's already given you the mission. He's given you the power to fulfill the mission. Are you going to do that today? Friend, you're here today and you're wondering, what is the gospel? What does it mean for you? God is pursuing you. You are not here by accident. You are here because someone invited you, whether on social media, whether you got something in the mail, whether a family member or whether a friend, and it was the Holy Spirit of God that put it on their heart, and put it on someone's heart to put it on social media so that you would see it, so that you would be here. Why? So that you could experience the offer from God about the gospel of grace. That's why you're here. And this is the promise. If you turn from your sins and you place your faith in Jesus, you will be redeemed. You will be purchased. You will be ransomed. Your sin will be paid for, and you will have life in his name. Do not delay. Come to Jesus today. Believer, some of us in this room are pretty ambitious. But is it being informed by your redemption? Is your ambition as a believer being informed by the redemption that you have because of Christ Jesus? In other words, is you around this sins, but God made you alive in Christ Jesus? Is that forming you? This is a struggle. This is a challenge for us. Redeemed ambition is recognizable when the gospel of grace is what fuels the mission that we live for. We never move on from that. Redeemed ambition is the image Christ puts in us. It's the fuel. It fuels us. It's a will submitted, a life surrendered, a mission that is gospel focused. And Paul's "if only" is our invitation. Not comfort, not control, but finish the race and testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And every time that we gather every Sunday, we don't gather to just simply learn. We gather to allow the Word of God to move us towards life. So I want to give us three things to leave with today. Number one, this question: what is driving my ambition? What is driving my ambition? Friend, are you here today and your ambition is all about yourself? It's about what you want to do with life. I hope you've heard today that God has sent His Son Jesus for you to change your life so that you could be forgiven of sin and be given a new life in Him. Christian, is your ambition formed by your redemption? Is your salvation informing every area of your life? Is your value system selflessly surrendered? Number two, what am I refusing to surrender to Jesus in this moment? Is it my fear? I don't know if people are going to reject me when I speak the gospel, when everything in my life annoyingly points to Jesus, right? Is it my comfort? Paul says, I'm going to Jerusalem, and what I know that the Spirit is leading me into is imprisonment and afflictions. Is it your comfort? Maybe God's calling some of you to surrender some major things in your life. Are you willing for your life to be selflessly surrendered? Maybe it's your calendar. Maybe it's your calendar. I mean, the Holy Spirit, which He does have access to, by the way, were to download your Google Calendar or your Apple Calendar and see what's on your schedule this week. Is it filled up with godly things or is it filled up with earthly things? Is it filled up with finishing the course that God has given you in Christ Jesus to testify of the gospel? What am I refusing to surrender to Jesus? And the last question for us today is this. Who do I need to speak the gospel of grace to? We say this every week. God has placed you where you live, work, and play to testify the gospel, the grace of God. Who in your life needs to hear about the grace of God in Christ Jesus? This is redeemed ambition. And this is what fuels us for the mission ahead. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. I pray and ask that as your word has been preached, that would not what would stick in our mind is the points, not what stick in our mind is the illustration, but is this truth, that when redeemed ambition looks like is our will firmly submitted, our lives selflessly surrendered, and our mission relentlessly gospel focused until the end. Father, we pray that you would do what only you can do. Spirit, apply the word as you see fit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.